Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
I got nowhere else to go. Welcome back to Royals Weekly. I am your host, Marcus Mead, and joining me as always, a man who is not fun for the whole family, my brother Mike.
Fun for the whole family? This guy participated in Easter egg hunts. I went to the zoo yesterday. That is wholesome family fun.
You did an Easter egg hunt?
Well, kind of. Within our own house and within our mother's house.
Oh, okay. Easter egg hunts. All right. I was thinking that you just randomly went to an Easter egg hunt and you yourself were just mowing over kids looking for candy. Just candy and eggs, just mowing them over. That seems more your move. But all right. House. Okay. Yeah, I figured as much. On this week's episode, we'll break down an underwhelming opening series for the Royals, but at least they got a win today. That was nice to see. We'll discuss what we're seeing from the newly acquired Royals, check in on those newly acquired players after the first series, and then we'll preview this week's games, which see the Royals go to Baltimore for one away series and then come back for a four-game series against the White Sox. It's weird. Usually if they're making a trip to one of the coasts, they're doing it for a couple of series, two or three, just one in Baltimore and then right back to Kansas City. So it is what it is, as I say. First, I want to remind you, follow us on all the social medias, Twitter, X, whatever it's called, Threads for Mike, Facebook, Instagram. We're putting out video content with clips from shows, but also other things as well. So make sure you're following us on there. Give us a review on Apple Podcasts. We've had a review in months. We're dying to read your words here on our episode. Go to Apple Podcasts, leave us a review. We'll read it here on the show. So do some of that. Also, make sure you're subscribed to our Substack. All paid subscribers get an extra episode every Thursday morning. Those have been some really great episodes lately. I feel like we're in our groove when it comes to our midweek episodes now. A lot of deep dive, a lot of cool stuff. It's going to get even cooler as we get to talk about actual regular season baseball. So make sure you're subscribed there. I also want to remind you that Royals Weekly is brought to you by All In Physical Therapy. You already know that All In Physical Therapy helped turn our mother into the human form of a car compactor. But what you don't know is that Mom loved her experience there because of the personal attention she got from Tommy and the staff at All In. They guarantee a personalized one-with-one experience to suit you the needs of patients recovering from total joint surgeries, sports injuries, or any kind of injury or pain.
I need someone to help with the pain of rejection I felt when I asked Bethany Finkelmeyer to the 8th grade dance.
Let it go, man. It's been 25 years.
Why am I not tall enough, Bethany?
All In Physical Therapy is owned and operated by Tommy Frever with locations in Blue Springs and Lee Summit. But most importantly, they're in-network for nearly all insurance providers.
Out of network? Man, insurance is a scam.
Huge scam, biggest scam, biggest legal scam in America. Anyway, if you're a high school athlete recovering from injury or someone bouncing back from a brand new hip or knee, check out the best physical therapy in the KC Metro at allin-pt.com. That's allin-pt.com. Or give them a call at 816-427-5300. That's 816-427-5300. We always start the review with roster news, but there is virtually nothing to talk about on that front, which I guess is a good thing. It means nobody's really gotten hurt in this opening series. We're just sort of status quo in terms of players and that sort of thing. The only things that happened roster-wise were all expected things. Carlos Hernandez went on the 15-day IL. Michael Massey went on the 10-day IL. Josh Taylor and Jake Bruntz will start the year on the IL as well. They went on the IL. But all that stuff was expected. We knew that was going to happen going into this week. And so nothing new to talk about there, really. On the field, the Royals were 1-2 this week. They dropped 2 of 3 to open the season, but they were able to grab that big win today. What was it, 11-0, I think?
I think by the end, yeah,
was the final score. And they avoided an opening series sweep at the hands of the Twins, which was nice to see. Mike, how do you feel about the opening series against the Twins?
I wasn't surprised by the result, because if you'd said, hey, you're going to drop 2 or 3 to the Twins, I'd have been like, yeah, I could see that. But I was a little surprised by how it happened. You know, if you'd have told me we were going to drop 2 of 3, I would have said, well, the starting pitching wasn't exactly what we wanted it to be. But the starting pitching was everything we've wanted it to be in this series. It's everything you want a revamped rotation to look like. And the bullpen and the offense let us down in those two games. Now, the offense came back with a vengeance and the bullpen today. But those first two games, the offense just did not do enough, even though we saw some good things from some guys we were hoping to see some good things from. It's just, again, when they got opportunities, they didn't cash in on those opportunities quite a bit. And so this last game kind of makes you feel better. But, you know, division favorite, you want to do a little bit better than 1 and 2.
Yeah, we've talked a lot about how tough their opening month of the season is, their first 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks in terms of their schedule. I was thinking of this series as, hey, you got to get one coming out of this series at least, right? Like, and so even before the season started, I thought, okay, if you can grab one from this series, if you can grab one from the Baltimore series, you go into the Chicago series, 2 and 4, and you have a 4-game set against Chicago, maybe you take 3 of 4 from them, then you start feeling better about where you're at. And so, you know, I'm not hugely disappointed by this series. We actually won in terms of run differential this series, which was great to see. And the offense looks like maybe they found something in this final game. Really happy with where the starting pitching is. If they get that kind of starting pitching consistently throughout the year, obviously it won't always be that good. But if they get that solid starting pitching throughout the year, I think they'll be just fine. And so it was great to see that from Reagans, Lugo, and then Singer came out today and was otherworldly. We got good Brady today, right? And so if that keeps happening, hopefully we'll have a chance to win quite a few of his starts as well. Mike, I left this guy for you on purpose because I knew you'd want to take him. I did, because we have to talk about him first, right? And Mike goes first when we talk about these things. Mike, who's your strong performer for the week? He is the one who stands out among everyone.
Bobby Witt Jr. looks like the Mike Trout of infielders right now. he is has been unbelievably good in this first series, even better than what I thought he would be coming out of a phenomenal season last year. He was 6 for 11 with 3 doubles, a triple, a home run, 2 walks, and 4 strikeouts. He sprinkled in 1 single. He has 5 hits and 11 at-bats that are extra base hits. I mean, he's just killing the thing. And he's played great defense, too. And so, yeah, I think we did an over-under of 5.5 war on him. I look like an idiot for taking the under right now. I look like an idiot. Alex Duvall is going to come punch me in the face or something. He's playing like an MVP right now. And it's been unbelievably good. He did get thrown out on a bad steal. That's the only negative thing I can really say about him right now. He got thrown out stealing. That's it. He is so good at baseball.
He is so good at baseball. And the thing is, every time he hits the ball, it's insanely hard, and it looks like it's about to leave the yard. 2 of those doubles, I think, could have gone out, or maybe one of them. That triple would have been out in, like, probably 10 or 15 parks because it hit high off the wall. And so, yeah, he could have 3 home runs right now if this opening series wasn't in Kauffman. And, yeah, you're right. He came out looking like an MVP candidate right now, which is great because those first two games, nobody else was hitting. And so we needed somebody to produce some offense in some way. And so now it looks like maybe some other guys are hitting a little bit. We need the whole lineup to start hitting. But Bobby Witt Jr. has just been carrying them this opening series. 6 for 11. He's looking so, so hot. Almost was a double away from the cycle today, after the third inning. After the third inning, he had 2 at-bats to get a double. Wasn't able to do it, but still pretty impressive. There is one other guy who's been kind of hitting the whole time, and that's MJ Melendez. He's my strong performer for the week. He went 4 for 12 this week with 2 doubles, 1 walk, and 2 strikeouts. And the thing is, it's also the approach at the plate that is like got me really excited that this could actually be the Melendez year, right? Like there was an at-bat he had today. It ended up being just like a routine fly ball to left field. But the first 2 pitches he got were fastballs up. Last year, he swings at both of them. This year, he takes both of them, ends up getting up 2-0, and he puts himself in a great position. If MJ Melendez can lay off that high fastball, the guy has a chance to break out this year. I'm really, really excited for it. He did leave the game early It turned in the fifth, and I was a little bit worried there. Turns out Matt Quatero just said intestinal problems, which I think we all know what that means.
We've all been there. Sometimes it happens on the 16th hole of a golf course when you're walking. Sometimes it happens when you're playing left field for the Kansas City Royals.
Sometimes it happens when you're in the lobby of the Bellagio. It just happens when it happens, okay? It happens when it happens. Nobody, we're all human beings here. We're all human beings. We understand MJ. He's playing great. Whatever he's eating pregame, keep eating it, buddy, because it's doing wonders for you. Not everybody was tremendous in a week. We're in a series where you lose two of three. Mike, who's your weak performer for this week?
Right now, it's Hunter Renfroe, and it may not be because of the things you're kind of thinking of, and we'll dive a little bit more into him later, but he's 0-7 with 4 Ks and no walks. That can never be good, no matter how you're looking deeply into the analytics of it. 0-7 with 4 Ks and 0 walks is bad. And we had concerns about this coming into the regular season. We had concerns about his ability to handle elite velocity. Maybe you've seen him. He has been behind a couple times on some fastballs that it's a little concerning, but we'll have to see more. But you really wanted Hunter Renfroe to bring more to this lineup, especially in those first two games when your offense was struggling.
Yeah, he's the veteran presence, right? I mean, everybody talks like he's the veteran presence in the middle of the lineup or whatever. And yet he comes in and he's just not a presence at all, really. I mean, he's veteran, that's for sure. He hasn't hit the ground running. And you have to start asking questions eventually. We're not there yet because it's still super small sample size. But if he doesn't pick it up, you still have to start asking questions about, like, what do we do with Hunter Renfroe? Nick Prado's looking real good in AAA.
Nick Prado looked really good this weekend.
yeah. And so, you have to start asking those kind of questions. I know because he was a free agent sign and he has no options or anything like that. I know that the conversation coming out of spring training was Velasquez or Prado. If Hunter Renfroe hadn't been a free agent sign, if Hunter Renfroe could have been sent down or moved or traded or whatever, the conversation wouldn't have been Velasquez versus Prado. It would have been Renfroe versus Prado. And honestly, Renfroe probably would have lost that conversation. But because Renfroe got paid free agent money, because he's the veteran and all that sort of stuff, he'll get more time to see if he can produce. And hopefully he starts hitting sometime in Baltimore. My weak performer for the week is Chris Stratton. He struggled a little bit. He only had everybody's only got one outing. So it's not like some huge deal or anything. One inning pitched. He gave up two earned runs on two walks and a strikeout. I think he gave up a lead in one of those first two games. But just didn't look all that great. Struggled a little bit in spring training too, I think Chris Stratton did. But I'm not overly worried. I hope his velocity gets back to where it was last year. But other than that, it's just something to keep an eye on. He wasn't great this week, but hopefully he bounces back next week. Mike, interesting. You have what looks like two themes this week, but it might just be one. I don't know. Tell us, what's your theme for the week?
It's just one theme, but it's two lines from the same movie, so I kind of separated them up into the two different lines. We lost the great Louis Gossett Jr. this past week, best known for his Oscar-winning performance in An Officer and a Gentleman. And so I went with the line from An Officer and a Gentleman, where he says, where he's trying to get Zach Mayo, Richard Gere's character, to drop out of the military. And he's being that classic drill sergeant he played the role better than probably anybody has. And he comes out and tells him, "You can forget it, you're out." And then Gear comes back with the famous line, "I got nowhere else to go."
I got nowhere else to go.
Exactly. And that's the line that gets remembered. But Gossett is the one who makes that scene. He really is. And his character did a phenomenal job. Didn't know about him. Did you know he was signed by the New York Knicks to play professional basketball? No,
I did
and
not
chose
know that.
Instead to go do a Broadway play because it paid more money. And he went on to become, an extremely famous and accomplished actor. So good for him. RIP on a life well lived to Louis Gossett Jr. But that kind of reminded me of when you're 0-2, like it really, really felt like the Royals had to win this game today or they were out. It's like because
it feels
we've been
like
stung
people,
so many
right?
times.
Yeah. It feels because like that to people. That's not how it is, though.
Because we've been stung so many times as Royals fans, and we know how hard the schedule is coming up, and we know that, we've had Aprils and Mays that were just so abysmal, and you get finally what you think you need in the starting pitching doing well, and you still lose two games. It's like, it's so frustrating. So it felt like we had nowhere else to go. And then, Brady Singer rides in on his white horse and Salvador Perez and Bobby Witt Jr. And, it's like, okay, they're going to save us. We're going to stick this out just like they did in that wonderful film co-starring Louis Gossett Jr. So, yeah.
Brady Singer does actually have a white horse that he rides on into the ballpark, guys. Just to let you know.
I'm sure.
Yes, very, very good theme for this week. Mine is Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, Oscar-winning film. I think it won Best Picture in 2002 or 2003. If you haven't seen it, it's a fantastic film starring Michelle Yeoh. But that movie is about how motherhood, the experience of motherhood, and especially immigrant mothers and things like that, makes it seem like you're trying to take on everything everywhere all at once and be everything to all people. I thought about the title in terms of what it felt like was happening today on the field, which is that everything, the Royals were firing on every cylinder possible today, right? Like they pitched, they hit, they had relief pitching, they ran the bases, they did every single thing up and down the lineup. Nelson Velasquez had two hits, including a home run. Kyle Isbell had a home run. You know, MJ Melendez had hits. Everybody had hits. I don't know if that's actually the case, but it seemed like up and down the lineup, everybody was getting hits. Singer comes out and throws seven shutty. Then comes Matt Sauer, makes his major league debut with a clean inning. Jordan Lyles gets in there and throws a clean inning. It was just one of those everything clicks all at the same time games. And those are amazing to have. But it also shows you that the Royals have potential as a team. If they can keep getting good starting pitching, they don't need it all to fire all the time. They just need some of it to fire enough of the time. And hopefully that can continue to pick up as Baltimore, or as they head to Baltimore. Royals Weekly is brought to you by Knapp Family Wealth. Mike, can you think of anything more important than securing your financial future?
Seizing every day with the wonder of a...
No, that's stupid. Securing your financial future is one of the most important steps someone could take for themselves and their family. And Knapp Family Wealth is ready to help you pursue it. This isn't some big faceless corporation we're talking about here. Knapp Family Wealth is run by J.C. Knapp. He's a huge baseball fan, and he's been helping people plan for their financial futures for 20 years. He can help you with retirement planning so you don't have to work until you're dead, education planning so your kids learn to read good, investment management so you can get all that money from out of your mattress and get it working for you. Don't spend another day thinking you've got it all figured out, because trust me, you don't. Check out Knapp Family Wealth at knappfamilywealth.com. That's KNAPPFamilyWealth.com. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA/SIPC. We haven't seen much real baseball yet, but we got to talk about something. So we're going to take a look at the Royals' new additions and talk about how they've performed so far this season, maybe open up any questions or concerns that we have about each of these additions. We're not going to cover all of them. They got plenty of new players on the roster, from everyday players to part-timers and all that sort of thing. We're going to talk about a few of them, especially those who've gotten significant playing time up to this point. Mike, I want to just sort of go through the list of these new additions we're going to talk about, and we're going to start with Seth Lugo. What were your thoughts on seeing Seth Lugo in that first series this week?
Textbook Lugo, you know, classic Lugo. That performance was exactly what you signed him for. You know, he filled the bottom of the strike zone with fastballs, and then when he was looking for the strikeout with it, he'd go up with it. The curveball in the bottom, the slider in the bottom, getting a lot of ground balls. It just looked like exactly what you want from Seth Lugo all year long. It was a great outing for him. And yeah, in case you were wondering, like, well, why would the Royals want to get that? Because that stuff, the stuff he was doing, it doesn't shut down. It doesn't go into slumps, you know? Like, he can locate the ball down in the bottom of the zone and get ground outs. And that doesn't really go into slumps. Like, oh, well, if his velocity goes down a little bit, he's going to get crushed. That's not who Seth Lugo is. He'll just throw a different pitch more. That's what he'll do. I mean, that's just how he goes. And so it was textbook Lugo. I was happy to see it. And I'm happy that the Royals fans are going to get to see it, because I think when you come from what we did last year, I think they're going to appreciate a Seth Lugo a lot.
Yeah. And honestly, I think his velocity was a little bit down in this start. Like, you're right. Like, if it's down, it doesn't matter. Like, because what he's going to be trying to do is throw sinkers and get you to ground the ball, hit the ball into the ground. He's going to try and get you swinging over the top of that curveball. Like, that's his game. And that doesn't change really from outing to outing. So you're right. We got to look at what essentially we're going to get from Seth Lugo the entire time he's pitching, right? Like, my hope is that's for like something like 180 innings. I think that would be a good number for him this year. But it also, watching him go out and just be that level of consistent. And it wasn't just like, he wasn't dominant. Dominant's not the right word for what he did. He leaned into his defense.
He got hit hard a couple times.
He got a couple of amazing defensive plays behind him from MJ Melendez. That saved a run or two. And from I think, Michael Garcia made a couple of really good plays that saved runs. He needed the defense, but that's who he is as a pitcher too. He needs the defense. It's a complementary style of pitching. Cole Reagans goes out there and he's going to try and strike out the world. He can be that kind of dominant. Seth Lugo has to be consistent and has to use complementary pitching to sort of use the defense and that sort of thing, which is great and fine and often leads to guys throwing more innings and a little bit more consistency. What watching him reminds me of, though, is that we have no sense of what it's like to have a rotation that has depth to it. Like, it's weird for me because when Lugo had his start, but they ultimately lost the game, for some reason, I had this feeling like, oh, crap, we're past the first two starters. What are the odds we're going to get wins? And then I look at our rotation. I'm like, wait, we got Singer, we got Waka, and then we got Alec Marsh. There's a decent chance we can grab wins in those games, too. Like, it's just going to feel really weird having consistency throughout the rotation. If that sort of thing, if, you know, these guys stay healthy and they can perform and that sort of thing, it will be an unusual feeling to me as a Royals fan to have the level of depth that a guy like Seth Lugo represents, I think. What about Adam Frazier? Mike, we've seen him play. Well, has he started all three games? I think he started all three games at second base. What are your thoughts on watching him play so much and what he's done so far?
Well, I feel like you've kind of seen what he can be or why he came in. He's hit a little bit. He got, I think, a two-run single today. He actually had a hard hit ball that he got out on today as well.
I want to talk about that because I went back and forth in my own mind on this, right? Like, let me paint you a picture. I think there's a guy on third. There's one out. There might be a guy on first too. I'm not entirely sure. Or second and third.
Second and
third, one out. Frazier's up to bat, right? The Royals have scored, I think, five runs at this point. Three or five, maybe just three. I can't remember. They'd scored a few at this point. And so I'm like, okay, one out. You're Adam Frazier at the plate, which, you know, you're not a home run hitter. You're not a run producer. It's your job to bring that guy in from third. Like, that is your main job. You were signed on this team to situationally hit. What does he do? He hits a hard line drive, which is good, but it's caught by somebody, right? Nothing that could ever... it was caught on the infield at first base. Nothing that could ever bring somebody
home. It was
on the
ground, but yeah, it was hard.
It was basically, it might have been a line drive. He might have caught it, but if not, it was a ground ball. The guy was standing at first and just stepped on first. But anyway, I was of two minds at that point where I'm like, good, he hit the ball hard. But then a part of my mind was like, you were brought in to situationally hit. You can't bring the guy in from third. Like, what are you doing? Like, do you see what I'm saying there? Am I crazy? Mm-hmm. Or should my expectations be lower? Like,
I don't know. I think most major leaguers are trying to hit the ball hard, right? You hit the ball hard, you get the best chance of bringing that guy in. Now, you want it to be in the air in that situation. You don't want it to be on the ground, which it was. I mean, it hit the ground at least one hopped before it got to Carlos Santana at first. But yeah, I mean, I see what you're saying. In the terms of outcomes, that was not the outcome that you wanted, but the process seemed like okay because he hit the ball pretty hard, right? I think this. After what I've seen in the first one, I think, okay, Adam Frazier is exactly what you kind of want him to be. But when Michael Massey gets back, you probably want Massey in there. But he was probably always Michael Massey insurance. And so since he's Michael Massey insurance, you're okay with what you've gotten from him so far. He did have a defensive miscue in not today's game and yesterday's game, I believe. I think he is exactly what you have wanted him to be. You're not ever going to count on him to be a real run producer. But yeah, I agree. You want him to get that guy in from third for sure.
Yeah, that's the only thing that irks me. I think you're right. I think he's played exactly as you would want him to play. He's gotten a single here or there. You know, he's done that sort of thing, which he's been able to do throughout most of his career. But it irks me a little bit when he doesn't do those little things, like he makes that error at second, when he doesn't bring the guy in from third and that sort of thing. It's those little things that irk me because that's ostensibly what he's there to do. That's the value that an Adam Frazier brings to the team. It also irks me just a little bit that Lofton is sitting on the bench while he's playing, right? Because I'm like,
yeah,
I get the Massey thing. I get it's like, okay, when Massey comes back, he should take the second base spot and all that sort of stuff. But part of me is like, but maybe Lofton should already have the second base spot. Like, I think that, you know, there's a little bit more potential there. That's just of my own opinion. I get why they don't do it. Frazier is the veteran. He has the longer track record and all that sort of thing. But, you know, me being, you know, sort of interested in Lofton, I'd almost rather see him starting more games at second base. Mike, we talked about him a little bit already. Your boy, Hunter Renfro here, is our next new addition to talk about. What are your thoughts on your boy? I don't know. I like to assign him as your boy. What are your thoughts on Renfro? Why is he struggling so much at the plate?
He's struggling so much at the plate because he can't get the damn ball in the air. If you watch that first game of the season, the regular season, the opening day, he hit two really hard balls. And if you look at the average exit velocity he has right now, it's high. It's like over 100. The problem is his launch angle is minus 5.5 right now. So he's beating everything into the ground. And you know, the shortstop made two good plays. He hit basically the same two hits or hit the ball the same way twice on opening day, both really hard, but and to the right of the shortstop, and the shortstop made a good play both times. But you're a home run guy. You're a power guy. Get the ball up in the air, Hunter Renfro, if you want to continue to get at bats, plain and simple. And you're seeing a guy now like Nelson Velasquez look pretty good today. We've said his approach looks really good. Some of those balls are going to get over the fence, and some of those hits are going to start dropping. If he keeps hitting the ball into the ground, Nelson Velasquez is going to start taking some reps in right too. And then you can put Lofton at DH or anybody else you want to at DH, maybe Nick Prado, whatever. But got to get the ball in the air.
Yeah, he does. He also has to stop striking out, right? Like four strikeouts and seven.
Four strikeouts and no walks.
Yeah, no walks. That's not what you want from him. And so, yeah, the question, they'll have to deploy him in good situations. They'll have to make sure he's not facing elite velocity and all that sort of thing. The thing is, if he wasn't paid decent money, he wouldn't be in the majors right now. And so part of me is like, they're kind of in a tough spot, right? Like, they're in a good spot if he hits. If he starts hitting, if he starts putting balls over the fence like he's supposed to and that sort of thing, they're in a great spot because then they can trade him. They can bring back some prospects. They can bring Prado up when he's ready and all that. If he doesn't hit, they're not in a terrible spot because they're just like left with the money, but they're not going to be able to move him. Like even at $8 million, unless if he doesn't hit, they're going to have to either eat all that salary, eat a huge chunk of it, something like that, because it just, there's not much value to him other than the ability to hit. And if he doesn't do that, what do you have? You have virtually nothing. And so, you know, all I'm thinking is, you're right, Mike. He needs to get the ball in the air. He did hit a couple of balls hard, and that's good to see. But you can't strike out at like a high percentage, Renfro. You're not like, you don't have the hit tool to strike out 30% of the time. And like, you know, it's just not going to be good enough. And so hopefully he can sort of rebound as we move into Baltimore. It's a lot easier to get one out of Baltimore. So maybe just like a nice fly ball and maybe it'll go out, you know? Let's talk a little bit about one reliever who got to pitch only an inning so far and didn't look great. Mike, what are your thoughts on Will Smith from what you've seen so far?
Yeah, not a great first outing for Will Smith, but I'm not really worried because some of the things I saw there, I was like, that's a pretty good pitch. They just hit it. and so that was kind of my feeling after the Will Smith outing. I think he's going to be okay. We even saw MacArthur give up a run in that outing. You know, I think he's going to be fine. I think he's still the Will Smith that we thought he was coming in. He's never going to be a dominant closer type, and I think a lot of teams wouldn't be using him as a closer, really. But for the Royals, I think that's the role he's going to fill still, and I'm still not worried about being able to move him or his ability to have success.
Yeah, I'm not worried about anything like that. My only thing is, like, so I was a little bit happy that his velocity looked like it was up a little bit in this first outing compared to where he was at in spring training. We saw him in spring training, and he was not registering very 88, 89 tops on the gun sometimes. And he was up to 91 for, I think, sitting mostly 90, 91 on the gun at in his first outing, which was nice to see. The stuff, though, my concern is that, like, yeah, guys were just on him. They were having good plate appearances and all that. What if the stuff has taken a step back and now guys will be on him a lot? That's my concern, right? He is not young. It's another year older, another year gone for him. And so I just worry that, you know, the Royals are going to rely on him in some high leverage situations. What if it's not so hard to hit Will Smith anymore? Royals Weekly is brought to you by Eric Oxer of West USA Realty. Phoenix has all of our favorite things, year-round golf, year-round baseball, and Eric Oxer of West USA Realty. Whether you want to buy your dream retirement home or just stay a while and catch spring training, Eric can help you find the perfect house for you. We've known him for 30 years and trust him far more than we even trust each other.
I've seen Mark take several pennies, never seen him leave a single penny.
Yeah, they say
it's just take a penny to him.
I feel like leave a penny is more of a suggestion. Mark Eric does long-term rentals for the snowbird crowd and home sales and purchases for those who want to stay a while longer. Are you a baseball player or parent who needs a place in the Phoenix area? Eric will find you the perfect spot fast. Want to spend your days shanking golf balls into the great beyond? Eric knows the golf scene like Mike knows the dialogue of the early 2000s rom-com Love Actually. Find Eric online at ericoxer.com if you can figure out how to spell his name. It's ericaxier.com. Or just shoot him a text at 480-383-9745. That's 480-383-9745. Even if you're just curious about what he can do for you, he's 100% no pressure, one of the best people we know.
And he always brings his own bags to the grocery store.
Cares about the environment. It's a full slate of games and a lot of travel for the boys in blue this week, as they'll head to the East Coast for a three-game series against AL East favorites Baltimore Orioles, before heading home for a four-game set against the White Stockings of Chicago. That's what I'm calling them now. The White Stockings of Chicago. Mike, tell us about the Baltimore Orioles, a team that looks too good for it to be fair, other than the Dodgers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, yeah. They're really good, and they got a bunch of good players in the minors, too. So, it's going to be a tough one. But I do like the pitching matchups that we have early on in the series, so that's good. Baltimore's 2-1 right now. We'll get Michael Wacha against Dean Kremer. Funny. 28-year-old right-handed pitcher out of UNLV. He's a 4.12 ERA last year with a 1.31 whip. He's got a four-seam fastball that sits in the mid-90s, a cutter, a sinker, a changeup, a curveball. He's a very average pitcher. Remember the ground in our midweek episode, we talked about ground-out to fly-out ratio. He's got a good one, but that's largely because his fly balls, they often go over the fence. And so he can give up the home run, Kremer. And so he, in that small ballpark, maybe we can put some out like we did today. In the second
game. I want them to crush Kremer so somebody can be like, Kremer's getting creamed out there. I want to say I will be the first one to throw that out there if that happens.
Oh, it'll be terrible and everyone will hate you. Alec Marsh versus Cole Irvin will be the second game. 30-year-old. Oh, and that's another weird thing that the Royals kind of announced. They're not skipping this guy. They're not skipping Alec Marsh, even though they could and still have 5 days rest, which is somewhat interesting. Alec Marsh, Cole Irvin's the 30-year-old left-handed pitcher out of Oregon, 4.42 ERA and a 1.28 whip last year. Four-seamer that's in the low 90s, changeup, sinker, cutter, curveball. Last year, hitters had big success against the changeup in a small ballpark like Camden. Perhaps we can as well. They had a 632 expected slugging against the changeup. So be sitting on that off speed and maybe you can hit one out like Isbell did today on that changeup. It was a changeup Isbell hit out today. Reagans will then be in that last game. Cole Reagans versus Corbin Burns, a good pitcher. 29-year-old right-handed pitcher out of St. Mary's, 1.50 ERA. And a 0.17 whip in his one start so far. Had a lot of good years with the Brewers, old Corbin Burns did. He is known for that cutter. He throws a cutter in the mid-90s, a curveball, a slider, a change. He throws the cutter about 50% of the time because it's a very good pitch. He threw the secondaries a little bit more in the first start, so maybe he's easing off the cutter a little bit. But, that'll be a good pitching matchup with Cole Reagans versus Corbin Burns, two guys who know what they're doing and have some good stuff. So hopefully I like our matchups. I like the pitching matchups in this. So hopefully we can get maybe 2 out of 3. I would love 2 out of 3. I would strangle a kitten for 2 out of 3 right now.
Don't do it, Mike. Don't hurt your soul. After that, we're coming back home. 4-game set against the White Sox. They are 0-3 to start the year. They've lost.
No.
Yeah. Believe it or not, they are 0-3. They've lost 3 one-run games to Detroit, all of them one runs. They lost the first one 1-0, the second one 7-6, and the third one 3-2. It's been real nail-biters, real tough losses for the White Sox so far. They're a mess of a franchise right now. Like the Royals are kind of always a mess, but they at least have some kind of direction, it looks like. I have no clue what the White Sox are doing in terms of organization building. Sometimes it looks like they're just giving up and going into a rebuild. Sometimes it doesn't. It's all over the place right now. They still have some good players. Luis Robert, Corey Lee, Braden Shoemake. I think it's just Shoemake. They're having good starts so far offensively. Garrett Crochet, their number one, had a really great outing, his first outing. Guy with great stuff who's had some injury problems, and that sort of forced him into the bullpen previously, but they're having him start this year. They also have Eric, I don't know how to pronounce it, I'm going to call it Fetty, who they signed this offseason, I think from Korea, I want to say. A lot of people were hoped the Royals might be in on Eric Fetty, but no, he's with the White Sox. He had a decent outing in his first time out too. Yes, Michael.
They still got Mankato?
I think so.
You on Mankato?
I think so, but there's no knowing if he's healthy ever. Like, he's hurt a lot. And so, you know, they're sort of half in, half, like, that's their half in, half out nature. Like, they let Tim Anderson go. Jose Abreu's gone. Dylan Cease, they traded away. They let Lucas Giolito walk. Like, they let a lot of guys leave or traded a lot of guys away. But then they kept guys like Luis Robert, Yoan Moncada. I think they kept Eloy Jimenez, just Andrew Vaughn. They're sort of half in, half out right now is what it looks like. We'll end this week's episode like we end every episode with our Just a Bit Outside segment, where we talk about something that's interesting to us outside the world of baseball. Mike, what have you got going on? What has been happening in your life this last week?
Well, it's been really busy. I got spring break this week, though, so I'm pumped for that. Like I said, we went to the zoo yesterday, and I was going to do it about the zoo, but I've already done it about the zoo, I think, like a couple of years ago. First off, Kansas City Zoo, you're awesome. Way to be awesome, Kansas City Zoo. Be a friend of the zoo. It's only like $75 a year. It's awesome. Anyway, but I didn't want to do that because I've already done it. So I was talking to our mother today. We went over for Easter dinner, and I was telling her I was like super kind of dreading this weekend and next week, because as a teacher, and I'm in the middle of coaching right now as well, I tend to push things to those free times that I have. So it's like summer break, winter break. You get just piled up with doctor's appointments, dentist appointments, you know, cleaning out the garage, doing all the home repair stuff that you have to do, maintaining all your stuff, cars and everything. And so I did that again, like I always do. And I was kind of dreading this weekend, because it was, if I wanted any days off next week, I had to do it all this weekend. And I'm leaving work on Friday, and I call my wife and I say, "Hey, what are you doing right now?" Because I knew she got off work a little early, and I was like going to try and procrastinate on mowing the yard. I was like, you want to go hang out, go to happy hour first before I go home and have to mow the yard. And she's like, "I'm mowing." I'm like, "What?" She's like, "I knew you had to mow the front yard, so I went ahead and did it for you, or I'm doing it for you." I'm like, "Oh, that's awesome. Thank you." At first I was just like, that's so great, because it takes that off my plate for today and all that stuff. Then come to find out, I wake up the next morning, or actually I woke up from a nap that I took. Sometimes I nap at the same time as our son. And she's like, "Oh, by the way, I did all these other things for you so that next week you can have at least a couple days where you don't have anything you have to do." And I'm like, "Oh my gosh, what a wonderful thing." Like, and then it makes me appreciate. And that's why for the Just a Bit Outside, I have why I love having an actual partner. And I'm never going to tell anybody else how to have their relationships or how to live their life or have their relationships. But when you have somebody who is, gotcha. When you have somebody who is an actual partner, it's like, "Hey, I can trust you to do these things," or I can, like, when you see that I'm overwhelmed, I don't have to ask you to take on things. You just do it. Okay. It's such a fantastic thing. And she saw that, and she didn't have to do it. She did this like to let me have days off, to let me just have some days free. She could very much be resentful that I'm a teacher and I get summers off and I get a spring break, because she isn't in education. She doesn't get any of these things. And she doesn't do that. She says, "You know what? I want you to be happy. I want you to have a day or two where you don't have to load your plate with a bunch of stuff around the house or taking care of other things for us." And so she went out of her way to do those things. And knowing that when that happens, I can count on somebody else means a lot to me. And so, you know, I'm not going to tell anybody else how to have their relationship or anything out. But if you're a younger person or you're a single person, when you go to find that other person, whoever they may be, you might try and find somebody you think would be a very good partner for you. You know, don't just think about the things that they talk about on movies. Think about, how can this person, how is this partnership going to work, and how can they help me on top of the other things? You know, yes, physical attraction, all the, you know,
very utilitarian of you, Mike.
It is, but you know, I'm 38, you know, I love my wife.
You are 38.
All that stuff. But yes, the physical attraction is important. Yes, somebody who takes care of your emotional needs and all those other things, all very important. Okay. But find yourself a great partner. Thank you, Morgan, for all the help that you gave me this week. That's fantastic.
Thank you, Cheeks. Yes, Mike, get off your lazy ass and mow the lawn.
I did the backyard. Oh, okay. And I sprayed and weeded it and did all that stuff.
All right. Well, that's good. Yes. Thank you, Cheeks. You're a wonderful partner. Let's see.
She's not going to listen to this, but okay.
Oh, okay. Well, then never mind. The things that I wanted to talk about, since you're talking about aging a little bit, that's a good segue. I want to talk about the things that I've started to appreciate more and more as I age. So Mike and I, when we were in our early 20s, we lived like men in their early 20s. You know, we didn't have bed frames. We just slept on box springs and mattresses on the floor. We didn't have, you know, I didn't fold clothes. You know, it was just like, it was a, you know, like people in the, and I thought to myself back then, like, this is all I need. This is all I'll ever need or want. I'll live like a, you know, like a filthy filth or whatever, you know, like, but as I've gotten older and people, usually my own partners, introduce me to more comfortable things, I start appreciating them more, right? Like I start appreciating having comfort around me, having aesthetically beautiful things around me. You know, like, so for example, my partner, last weekend or early last week, I can't remember, decided that she, I don't even know, just randomly decided she wanted to go to a plant store because it was fairly nice out and there's this really cool plant store she likes. So we went to this plant store, we're walking around and I'm just appreciating all these wonderful plants, these beautiful things. And she decides she wants to buy a couple of them. And so she buys a couple of them and brings them home. And I start looking around, noticing we actually have a lot of plants in our house now. Like we have probably...
Didn't even know.
They crept up on me. You know, they really crept up on me. She loves plants. She loves buying them and taking care of them. Or just like, she'll do cuttings. She'll like find a plant that she likes and cut one. And then like, I don't know what the propagating them, you know, like making them grow from the cutting or whatever. And so we have just 24 plants throughout our house probably. And I was just sitting there today like, this is really nice. It is really nice having these new plants and all these plants. I feel like I'm like living in a, you know, in a garden, like in a British garden or something. It's really wonderful. And it made me think like, man, this is probably good for my mental health to be in a situation where I have like what feels comfortable to me all around me, you know, like as opposed to, you know, eating frozen burritos and sleeping on the floor, you know?
I think what you're saying is your partners have made you soft.
I mean, probably.
You, yeah.
Probably too. Like, because
I used to eat raw meat on the floor
and
chain myself to the radiator. And
But I'm also old now, and so I don't need to be that way. Yeah, or like, I feel like, oh, yes, I am softer, and I want to be softer. Right?
Yeah.
Like,
just go stay at someone's house and sleep on an air mattress one time, except for Eric Oxer's, because his air mattress is fantastic. But, stay at someone's house and sleep like on the floor or on a couch one time when you're 38 or 40 or 45. And you'll be like, why the hell did I ever do that for a whole year or whatever? Yeah. What you did when you were in college or just got out of college.
Okay. Just a quick anecdote for insight into Mike and I's life for the hardcore listeners who stayed with us this long. When Mike and I lived in Kansas City, when we went to Maple Woods Community College many years ago in our early 20s, we lived in an apartment with our brother Rich. Okay. It was the three of us, but there were only two bedrooms and only two beds. So whoever fell asleep last that night just had to sleep on the love seat in the living room. Like, that's how we lived back then. It was just like, okay, no assigned bedrooms. You just sleep in whatever bedroom or bed you happen to want to be in at that time. And the last person gets stuck on the love seat. And the love seat doesn't actually hold any of us. It's too small. Yeah. So most of the time you're just sleeping on the floor, right? Like, that's how it went. That's an existence right there that now I look back on and I'm like, I don't ever want
that
again.
What the hell were we doing?
Anyway, a little personal info from our clan. Join us again next week or subscribe to the Substack and come get a midweek episode or join us next week. Your choice. We're going to talk more Royals baseball. Hopefully they go 7-0 this week. But if not, either way, we're going to be right back here. So until then, be good to each other.
And go Royals.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.